You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Monday to you, and thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. Unfortunately, the Buffalo Bills lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday, 9-6, and fell to 5-3 on the season. And obviously, there's a lot to get into from that football game, but I want to start by saying this, that my takes on this game may not be quite as nuanced as I like them to be, and you can thank CBS for that. The broadcast effort was just as bad as the Bills offense on Sunday. With Dan Fouts no longer in the booth, James Lofton has taken the mantle as the worst game analyst in the game, and with that means a lack of replays. I've heard this explained to me before, that when you don't get a lot of replays in a football game, it mostly has to do with the game analyst because they rely on that game analyst to be able to talk intelligently about what's happening on the field. And when they have concerns about that, you get less replays. And man, we needed a lot more replays in this football game, especially with all the penalties and the mishaps in the football game. We got very, very, very few replays. And so my ability to deliver today comes with some challenges. But before we get into things that I liked and things I didn't like and recap my predictions and talk about what's next, let's acknowledge where this football team is. You know what I think this football team is capable of, and this is a disappointing loss. It didn't meet anybody's expectations. And it's completely reasonable to expect a whole lot more from the Buffalo Bills. And I'm not going to sit here today and search for silver linings with the offense or how the game was coached or the offensive line or how Josh Allen played. I want to instead have a quick reality check. The Buffalo Bills are in a rut. The last three quarters against Tennessee, all but the second half against Miami, and four quarters against Jacksonville on Sunday was all bad football. The Bills have lost two of their last three games, and they've played poorly in nine of the last 11 quarters. And this is a critical point in the season. How are the Buffalo Bills going to respond? Where do they go from here? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year, they were 7-5. They lost three out of four, and all three losses came at home, which included a 38-3 loss to the New Orleans Saints. They went on to win their last four regular season games. They won four straight games in the playoffs, and they were Super Bowl champions. Fortunately for the Bills, their opportunity to get out of a rut comes earlier in the season. And we still haven't seen the best of the 2021 Buffalo Bills with any level of consistency. And as we are now at the point in the season where there's nine left to play, there's eight in the books, that is both concerning and intriguing. I certainly hope we look back at this moment as a turning point in the season, but this team has a lot to prove the rest of the way. A buzzy phrase that's going to be used to describe this game is wake-up call. Well, you kind of hoped that the wake-up call was in week one against Pittsburgh, or maybe even week two, despite it being a 35-0 loss to the Dolphins, that was a wake-up call. Or the last three quarters against Tennessee, or the first half against Miami. You felt like you've had those wake-up calls. Sunday was a good reminder of all those buzzy phrases about any given Sunday, and humility in the NFL is only one week away. That was an ugly football game by the Bills offense on Sunday. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But we're starting with things I liked. And let's not lose sight of a great defensive effort by the Buffalo Bills against Jacksonville. Held the Jaguars to 9 points, 2 of 13 on third down, 218 total yards, 2.9 yards on the ground per carry, 4.6 yards per pass play. They didn't allow Jacksonville to score a touchdown in 2 trips to the red zone. I mean, it was a great job by the Bills' defense. So while the offense definitely didn't show up against Jacksonville, the defense did. And while we are very disappointed in this result, and we should be, the defense played lights out. I don't think there was a single star on defense for the Bills on Sunday, but the whole unit played well. I'll shout out Mario Addison, who had a sack. And I think that from this rotation perspective and how the Bills are using more and more defensive linemen this year, I think Mario Addison has really fit well into this plan. We're getting the best of Mario Addison. Trey White and A.J. Epenesa, they combined for a sack. You had pass breakups by Trey White, Micah Hyde, and Levi Wallace. I thought the tackling efforts by Micah Hyde were outstanding on Sunday, and he played down low in the box a whole lot more than he normally does, which I'm guessing is because of Jordan Poyer and his shoulder being banged up, and he really answered the call. Levi Wallace had a fumble recovery. Jerry Hughes stripped the ball. Remember that right before the half? I actually tweeted out that it's last week all over again. Tie game, a couple of field goals, 6-6. Last week it was 3-3. Jacksonville's threatening before the half to go ahead. They fumble. The Bills get the ball last week. The Miami Dolphins fumbled. The ball. The Bills got the ball and avoided going into halftime losing. Well, the problem was this week wasn't like last week because the Bills didn't wake up in the second half offensively. So, yeah, the Bills' defense overall, just a great job. You can't really point any fingers at them. Do you wish they maybe came away with a couple of opportunities to take away the football when they broke on the ball? Yeah, but I mean, anytime you hold the team to 9 points where 3 of them were literally handed to them by the Bills' offense, they can't convert on third downs, less than 220 total yards. They didn't score in 2 trips to the red zone, at least a touchdown. I mean, that's great team defense. I don't care. I don't care how disappointed you are in this game. The Bills played great on defense. And then lastly, in things that I liked, Tyler Bass, perfect again. 2 of 2 on field goals. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment that you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, it's time for things I didn't like, and obviously the answer to that is the offense. In particular, the offensive line, it struggled. They lost one-on-one battles. They didn't play together as a unit in pass protection. They couldn't get any movement in the ground game. And there were lowlights across the board. I think in particular the guard play of Cody Ford and Ike Bocker was very disappointing. But, I mean, even Deion Dawkins and Darrell Williams had some lowlights as well. And I know that the Bills were down 2 starters on Sunday. But this performance was the manifestation of miscalculations with the personnel. The Bills have not been honest about what they have in Cody Ford. I know Brandon Bean took him high in the second round. They traded up for him. But there's never been any consistency to his game. And now he had his opportunity to get back into the lineup, and he laid an egg. He struggled. And he played between Mitch Morse and Darrell Williams. He struggled. The Bills have not been honest about what they have in Cody Ford. The Bills have also not been honest about what they have in John Feliciano. And I know that Feliciano didn't play in this game, but that's part of the problem. John Feliciano's hurt all the time. And so while he's inconsistent on the field, he's also not always available. And so they have not been honest about what they have in John Feliciano. And then when you consider those two things and you factor in that they released Quentin Spain and that they traded away Wyatt Teller, you've got a lot of problems here. You have several miscalculations at the guard position that has led to this moment where it is a detriment, it is a hindrance to your offense. And so Cody Ford, John Feliciano, not being honest about what they are, moving on from good players in Quentin Spain and Wyatt Teller. And if only one or two of those things were true, okay. But this is an issue. I'm not a fan of hindsight analysis. It's easy to look back at the Wyatt Teller trade now and see how good he's playing. And it's easy to look back at the Quentin Spain move and see how good he's playing and say, why do they do that? But when you have this many miscalculations at guard that have led to this moment, it's fair to call it out. And so the Bills have really struggled when it comes to solidifying the guard position, and it stems from their own issues in evaluating what they've had in the building. To me, the disappointment in the Bills' offense on Sunday against Jacksonville, a Jacksonville defense that has struggled all year long, starts with how the offensive line performed, and that made everything else difficult. Now, that doesn't mean that coaching and Josh Allen are excused, but that's where it has to start. That's where the conversation, in my mind, has to start. So the offensive line was a major disappointment, run blocking and in pass protection. Now, let's get to Josh Allen. He had a bad game, and he said it himself. He used an expletive to describe how he played on Sunday, and he wasn't wrong. 31 of 47, 264 yards. 47 passing attempts, 264 yards. No touchdowns, two interceptions, lost a fumble. I can live with inefficiencies in the passing game under the circumstances of that football game. But all three of Josh Allen's turnovers were awful. And it was a defensive struggle. There are going to be games like this in the NFL. And twice now, the Bills haven't shown that they can embrace this type of game. Sunday against Jacksonville and then week one against Pittsburgh. At times, it has been Sean McDermott not feeling the game correctly, in my opinion, which was a big problem against Pittsburgh. And I think it was a problem again against Jacksonville with his decision to decline that penalty that enabled Jacksonville to kick and make a 55-yard field goal instead of moving them back 10 yards and relying on your defense to make that either a tougher field goal or they're going to punt the ball or not challenging the Emmanuel Sanders play along the sideline and instead calling a timeout or using Josh Allen on a critical zone read play where you know that he has a propensity to make the wrong decision with the football and keep it in his hands. When your backup quarterback is Davis Webb, I mean, there were miscalculations by Sean McDermott and Brian Daboll in how they approached this game, a defensive struggle. But also Josh Allen. Josh Allen has to be mindful of what type of game he's in. Starting the second half, it's a 6-6 game. You haven't moved the ball all day. And you throw bad interceptions on the first two drives in the second half. Then it's five plays and a punt, and then the fumble. Those are critical swings when points are at a premium. You can't have it. And we haven't seen Josh Allen do this type of stuff in a while. But the assumption that you are just going to be able to walk onto any field and do whatever you want offensively is not a realistic expectation, especially when your offensive line is what it is right now and you don't have a running game that you can lean on to be this two-dimensional offense that you think you want to be. And so sometimes you have to embrace this type of game and do the smart things to give yourself the best chance to win it. And I thought whether it was Sean McDermott, Brian Daboll, or Josh Allen, all three of them had big-time missteps along the way in this type of game in terms of how the script was unfolding. So let's move on from Josh Allen and talk about the run game. The run game's bad. And we talked about how the Jaguars have a good run defense. Third best in the NFL when it comes to yards per carry allowed. 3.7 yards per carry allowed on the season entering this game. And the Bills running backs, 9 carries, 22 yards. That's gross. A lot of that's on the offensive line, but the Bills also lack a remotely dynamic ball carrier to tote the rock. And so if you're truly going to try to get the run game going, and it's going to be a priority for this football team, and there's going to be games like this, you need to set your personnel up differently to be able to have success running the football. The Bills were able to get by without a run game last year, and I think that's because they embraced ignoring it. This year, they're very much set up for the run game to be a big part of what they want to do offensively. And it's still not clicking. Again, a lot of that's the offensive line. But some of that's also the running backs. Singletary and Moss, neither one of them are a dynamic football player. And if the Bills truly want to be a two-dimensional offense, I think there's upgrades necessary at both spots. A couple more things to shout out here and things I didn't like. Cole Beasley's third down drop was an absolute killer. Matt Hawk is a terrible punter. He's supposed to be a good directional and control punter, but that hasn't been the case all year. He missed his chance again with that 28-yard punt late in the game. You had a chance to pin him back. You didn't. I thought Tywan Jones had a bad game. Obviously, the running into the kicker stands out, but there was another opportunity where I thought Isaiah McKenzie had a chance to return a punt. He had to call for a fair catch where otherwise he would have had a lot of room if Tywan Jones would have done a better job as a jammer to hit that block. That was the only guy that got free, and it really limited McKenzie's opportunity there. I also didn't like that the Bills are even more banged up now than they were entering the game. Feliciano's on IR. We know about Dawson Knox and Spencer Brown and that they're hurt. They could both be back this week. I don't know. We know that Jordan Poyer is banged up with the shoulder. He played the game and finished, but I don't think Cole Beasley finished that game. And Zach Moss and Taron Johnson left the game and did not return with head injuries. So that was disappointing to see. And that's not even counting the stuff we don't know. There's always those things that pop up that you find out when the Bills have their first practice of the week and guys are on the injury report and you're like, wow, what happened to that guy? So we have that coming still. And I want to mention officiating here. You know I hate talking about officiating. But this was a game that was over-officiated, which was really annoying. Nobody wants to see all these ridiculous personal fouls. They were looking for stuff. But what's surprising to me about that is how many calls were missed. So you're looking for all these penalties. You managed to call 5 personal fouls against the Bills, but you're going to miss false starts? I mean, the easiest friggin' penalty to call is a false start. Missed it multiple times. So overall, a very forgettable day for the Buffalo Bills offense, for the officials, and the CBS broadcast presentation of a football game in the year 2021. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. If you haven't tried a Built Bar by now, you are missing out. They say it's a protein bar, but it does not taste like one. You got to try one of these amazing bars to believe it yourself. Most protein bars are chalky or waxy or just plain hard to choke down. A Built Bar is soft, covered in 100% real chocolate, and when you bite into it, you know you're eating something different. It's more of an experience, one that you'll enjoy. In fact, you'd swear you're eating a candy bar. Built Bars are low carb, low calorie, low fat, low sugar, and high in protein. So all the healthy benefits on top of just being purely delicious. They have so many delicious flavors. And this month, Built is coming out with a new limited time flavor every 3 to 4 days. So make sure you check out their website often and don't miss out. And of course, I got a deal for you. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use our promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Folks, it's that wonderful time of year where there are tons of sports in season. You've got NBA and NHL in full swing. NFL is at the halfway point. College football is on nearly every single day. And BetOnline.ag remains the number one spot for all your sports betting action this season. Head to their new updated website and sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, and BetOnline is where the game starts. All right, let's close things out here by looking back at my predictions, a quick AFC East roundup, and what's next for the Bills and this podcast. So as for my predictions, another week where I really struggled, and let's get into it. The first thing I predicted was that the Bills would have 24 first downs. The most the Jaguars had given up all year is 23. And of course, if the Bills hit 20 first downs in this game, they would tie New England's record for consecutive games with at least 20 first downs. Boy, this didn't happen. Not only did the Bills not get 24 first downs to make my prediction correct, they didn't get 20. And the first down streak has come to an end. Number two, I predicted that a cornerback would have an interception in this game. That did not happen. Number three, I said that despite at least five kickoffs, they will all be touchbacks and the Bills will not allow Jamal Agnew to return the football. Well, I was correct in that every time that the Bills did kick off, it was a touchback. They only kicked off three times, though. So the process was right. The Bills just didn't score enough points to kick off enough for this to be a hit. So that's another miss for me. I got this next one right, and it's the weirdest thing I've ever predicted, I think, in a game. I said that the Jaguars would allow four or more receptions to Bills running backs on Sunday, and I referenced that entering the game that the Bills and Jaguars were tied for the least amount of receptions allowed to running backs on the season with 24, which wound up being an average of 3.4 per game. And so I said that the Bills would be above average in terms of receptions to completions to running backs against the Jaguars defense, and they completed 9 passes to running backs. And so we shattered that one, and I picked the Bills to win, and that didn't happen. So I go 1-for-5 on my predictions this time around. As for an AFC East roundup, the Bills are still in first place of the AFC East with a 5-3 record, but their lead is shrinking with the Patriots now 5-4. They are just a half game behind the Bills for first place in the division after they beat the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. The Jets are in third. They're 2-6. They lost to the Colts on Thursday Night Football. And the Dolphins improved to 2-7 with their 17-9 win over the Houston Texans. And that win by Miami was very good for the Bills because it helps their strength of victory. And we talked about that on the Friday podcast this week where strength of victory is a tiebreaker in the playoff standings. And the reason that the Ravens were ahead of the Bills in the playoff standings entering this week was because of their strength of victory. And so the Bills now adding to the win column for Miami twice is going to help their strength of victory, even though the Texans suffered a loss and that hurt the Bills' strength of victory. So the rest of the way, it's fins up. We are Dolphins fans because that's good for the Bills. And that's something we'll monitor the rest of the way. Next up for the Buffalo Bills is a road date with the New York Jets, the Bills' first divisional matchup this year, not against the Miami Dolphins. So we have that to prepare for this week. And as for this week on the podcast, tomorrow is Herd Mentality. I have to record it much earlier in the day than I normally do. So if you have questions, get them in as quickly as possible. I have a ton already, as people have a lot of thoughts and questions coming out of this loss. And so we'll get to as many as we can for Herd Mentality on Tuesday. Wednesday is our comprehensive primer on the New York Jets. It'll be our first in-depth look at that football team this year, and so I'm looking forward to breaking them down. Thursday is our crossover preview with Locked On Jets. Friday, leftover thoughts. We'll talk to Banged Up Bills about the injury situation. I'll give you my predictions for Sunday against the Jets, and of course my prospects to watch for the Bills on Saturday. And then as for Saturday, tailgate talk, I'm not making any promises this week. It's a very challenging week for me this week. I'm traveling. I'm leaving for Miami, actually, on Wednesday morning and coming back on Friday afternoon. And so I don't want to make any promises that I can't keep when it comes to a Saturday podcast this week. So stay tuned. If I can make it happen, I'll do it. But I'm going to be in Miami for the middle of this week, and that's going to make everything hard for me this week in terms of balancing out my work schedule. So I'm down there for work, a Draft Dudes trip down to Miami. We are actually going to be attending Ravens and Dolphins on Thursday Night Football and some other things that we have to do as well for the podcast, a different podcast, Draft Dudes. And so just a challenging week overall this week for me with travel. And so the Saturday podcast this week is very much up in the air, and I just want to be honest about that with you. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here today on the podcast. Tomorrow I'm going to dig into your questions, and I'm sure there's going to be some tough stuff to talk about. And so, yeah, that's a look forward tomorrow. Make sure that you're subscribed, rate, review, and share the podcast. Hope you have a great rest of your day, despite having to reflect on a very disappointing performance for the Buffalo Bills. And I certainly look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.